iHeart Podcast.
Our new neighbor. Oh, there's a bang.
Oh my god.
It sounds like cartoon characters like
Do we start the podcast?
I guess we did. Our new neighbors are making some noise, as opposed to our former neighbor who was an elderly woman who didn't ever make noise.
Who just very quietly would walk out and we walk by and she'd say, "Just have to say, your children are beautiful."
Yeah, they're after wonderful. She quietly listened to us screaming at each other the day before.
I have to tell you that when you're in your kitchen, I can hear you, but it's delightful. They're loud in the best way. Your house is
Could
full of life.
Could you maybe just clean some of the lint out of your window that's spraying laundry lint at my apartment? It's window opening season.
Yes, your dryer blows lint into my apartment, and it probably has been for months and months, but I'm only saying it now before I leave, because she was probably thinking about the new people moving
in.
Oh,
she probably was. Yeah.
She would never complain.
She was such a nice woman. We have to get her address from her grandson and send her a housewarming present or something.
Doris, who lives next door to us. That's how I remembered.
Anyway, she's gone. She's so sweet.
This building is being taken over by children. And
anyway,
all the old people are moving out. And
welcome to Wino's Parenting. I'm Beth Newell.
I'm Peter McNerney. And this is a late intro.
Yeah, we just rolled right in.
We started recording and then we just heard children's voices through our wall.
Yeah,
I think it was
a TV. I don't know.
No, there's... I cannot figure out the family structure of the neighbors yet. Because one, I don't think they're there fully yet.
Well, I've only seen the one nice dad, and I think
I saw him with a 2-year-old. But yeah. I've heard older kids, like 9.
Well, I think they might have cousins or something nearby, because there was visitors at one point. Yeah. It was really loud one day.
Yes.
During the day, which I don't mind.
I will never complain if they're
loud. I never mind noise because no one around here is ever up in the middle of the night like we are.
Oh, our downstairs neighbors just listen to us. And they can't hear anything because of our new bed. We're not going to talk about that anymore. We already have. Beth.
What?
How was your week in parenting?
Pretty good. A lot of tantrums, a lot of extreme tantruming.
Really?
From Maven. Which, unfortunately for Maven, I just can't get into it with her the way I could with Bryn. Like, I feel bad for her because I very much relate as the second child, but there's just so much with her where I'm like, oh, you're going to try to pull that? Good luck. Your brother did that for a full year until we lost our minds and realized we're not willing to put up with that anymore. You know, like, it's just like...
We're putting our foot down now.
She's just like, she's screwed in terms of like being indulged in her dramatic episodes. But she made some attempts this week, some very strong attempts.
She's like, I'm 3 and I will destroy you.
She's like, oh, really? So you had given her a new booster car seat because you wanted to get rid of the old car seat.
Yeah.
And I had worried she's going to pull some shit like Bryn did when he got the booster seat. And she hasn't... Oh, there's a big bang.
What is happening?
There's definitely something happening. Maybe they're hanging some stuff or something.
This is a whole new element to the podcast.
It's exciting to live next to someone who's awake past 9 p.m. like we are, our wild lives. But...
Yeah.
So anyway, Maven... threw a tantrum before school one morning this week when I was taking her, which was like, it was out of the norm for her that I was taking her in the morning because you usually do it, but you had to go film something. So she didn't like that because she was like, well, if you're here, mommy, how about we just don't go to school and I stay home and try to cuddle you for the next 5 hours? So she didn't want to go to school. And I was like, unlike Bryn, where I would probably have tried to reason with him more, I was like, I know this is a 3-year-old thing that where you're jigging your heels and I'm just not going to play this game. And I was just like, we're wrestling your shoes on. We're walking out the door. Nice. You're going to scream the whole time. And she did a pulsing screech that I think all of our neighbors heard every unit in every building in our cul-de-sac. Everyone experienced that.
You know what my solution is when she does that?
What?
Run.
That's pretty much what I did. I didn't run, but I was like, we are moving this along. I'm not engaging with it. So she screeched, and then she got in the car, and now she has a new booster seat, which thankfully she has not tried to undo the seatbelt.
Yeah, she's never done that.
But I know she's just moments away from this. So she was trying to put the window down, and then she decided to try to open the door while we were driving. And we're only like half a block away, so I was like, I wasn't, speeding along or anything. I wasn't worried for her safety, but I was pissed. And I was like, oh, no, we're not. And I was like, I got out of the car, child locked her door.
Yeah.
And was just like yelling at her in front of like some man trying to go to his service job or something. And I was just like, I'm not doing this. And so this is where it was like so much better as a more experienced parent, where I was just like, I'm not doing this. Like,
Beth, I am really proud of this. Yeah, that's not been your jam, that like, nope.
Yeah.
And you know what? This pays off for the next time.
Well, that's what I think was happening in my mind. I was like, I don't like be a hard ass now and try not to cause a scene in front of people on the street. And then next thing you know, she does this every single day and it's a nightmare. I can never escape. You know, like.
Yeah, it's that thing. It's like, it's not the screaming. Although when Bryn tried to open the car door while we were driving, I stopped and I screamed at him because I was like, I want to scare you.
Yeah.
So you're terrified. But aside from that, that just like dispassionate, dig in your heels, force the shoes on, throw her over your shoulder and run to the car and just show her like, you won't win. So forget about it.
Well, then we got to daycare and she was crying, like still kind of shrieking. And she like ran and hugged me, tried to get me not to leave. And the women at daycare were like, whoa, Maven. And they were like, she's not normally like this, like as if they wanted to inform me. And yeah. I was like, I know, like this is like, it makes me look crazy, like as if when I take care of her, this is just what she's like. But I'm like, she's just not used to me taking her to daycare. So she decided to like flip, you know.
Anytime the routine is off, it is harder for you. But I think that's like, you did it perfect. Like, you show them that a few more times and then they stop trying to pull that shit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Everyone's just like, hey, Maven, you're being a little weird today, huh?
She does that in bed.
Yeah. She's like,
and we're like, we're ignoring you.
She did. Okay, so this is the other tantrum I have to talk about is, so you know how I bought her some sale clothing from Hannah Anderson, which is a very pricey clothing place for kids, but the clothes are really high quality. So yeah. When you get one, it really lasts for a long time. And so I was at the mall and I spotted a Hannah Anderson sale and I impulsively bought Maven a long sleeve dress and some knit tights, which are, you know, like out of season or like last season, whatever. So they're way too warm for her to wear right now. But you know, she sees a shiny new item of clothing, she's going to be dying to put it on because she loves to look nice.
Don't we all?
We do.
No, not all of us.
You do.
I do, but not like Maven.
So I was like, I told you, I was like, I'm hiding this from her in the closet because she's not going to be able to resist. It's way too sweaty. And then on the weekend they were doing dress up and she looked in the closet and found it and insisted on putting it on. And I was like, this is going to make you too hot, but we can try it on. And then she was like, yeah, whatever, I'm not hot. And then she's like sweating. And of course she starts like raging out about something unrelated. And I'm like, you need to calm down. Maybe we should take off these clothes that are making you sweat and turn into a monster person. And she's like, no, it's fine. So
it's
I was like,
this is everything I do is exactly how it should be.
She's like, I look great. This is how people are supposed to behave. And
isn't that just women's fashion right there?
She's like, pain is fashion.
Pain is beauty.
So I was like, if you keep acting like this, I'm going to take your tights off and your clothes off. So she keeps freaking out. I take off the hot tights that are making her sweat. She's still wearing a long sleeve dress. I go in the other room to let her calm down, which our kids seem to need lately in their manic state. It's like, I'm trying to give you a cooling off period if you will just be willing to disengage for 2 seconds. So I go in the other room. She appears to be calming down, but she also has that sort of like evil thing in her eyes. And
yeah, she looks at you out of the tops of her eyes like she's like Damien.
And so she calms down, but then she walks out and she wants a snack or something. And I notice that the backside of the dress she tried on is soaking wet.
What?
And I'm like, you asshole, you peed while you were laying in our bed. So while she was calming down from the tantrum, she peed on our bed onto our comforter.
Which is not typical.
Not typical at all. And we've talked about this in a past episode with a listener who shared an angry peeing thing from their
revenge
kid.
Peeing.
And we were like, thank God our kids don't do that. So yeah, she did it. She peed on our bed in her dress. And then she tried to play it off like she didn't do anything. She's like, no, let's just go get a snack. And I was like, you're covered in pee. So again, I'm in this like, you're my second kid thing mode where I'm just like, I'm not reasoning with you. You're an asshole who just peed on my bed.
So I take
her clothes off against her will. She wants to keep on her pee clothes. I throw her in the bathtub. She's super angry that she has to get pee washed off of her. And then
I want it there.
Start washing our bedding. And then lay back down in bed. And then, of course, by this point, she's finally calmed down from the tantrum to the point where she wants to cuddle up with me and be comforted for her anger and her peeing in my bed. So,
and you did it.
I did.
You're a good mama.
I held her and I was like, you idiot.
For the record, you did not say out loud asshole or idiot to our daughter.
No, I didn't say any of those things, but that's how she
is. I said
it
in my mind
and she
very loud.
On the flip side, classic three-year-old, she's been so loving in the other moments.
Oh my
recently,
God.
Where she said, I love you to me like 3,000 times.
This
in the
morning,
last week.
Beth, we were walking to the car to go to daycare, and she goes, Daddy. I look down, and then she puts her head down, and she just goes, I love mommy.
She said it to me just so many times in a row. She goes, I love you. I love you. I love you. Like, and she goes, you're the best mommy.
It's like Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
She does. She'll just quietly whisper it to herself, go on and on. I love you.
I made them dinner tonight, and Maven jumped up on a chair, and it was too far from the table. So I got up and I pushed the chair in so she was closer to her bowl. And then she just went, thank you, Daddy. In this one, it was the sweetest thing I ever heard. And two, I was like, oh, yeah, that's Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daddy.
She does a lot of just like very endearing whispers lately. She's like, I love bananas.
Bryn has been doing Maven, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Are you okay? Can I make it feel better? And I was like, who's this kid?
I mean, I had fights with him this weekend too. He was like, he flipped out a couple times where I was just like, hey, you can't kick me. And then classic man, he like flips out at the slightest bit of criticism and starts just going into full tantrum because he doesn't like even being told that people don't like to be kicked.
Classic man.
It is classic.
You love being kicked. You used to love being kicked. Don't act like you weren't saying kick me.
I just feel like I'm under attack here with you telling me I can't kick you. I feel so attacked.
Okay, I have two things I need to share about food.
Okay.
One, I gave Bryn a bowl of pasta.
Our kids have been on a real carb kick this week.
I was home all day. I needed to go to the grocery store, but I was literally on a conference call 7 different conference calls all day long, but couldn't get to the grocery store. I made some spaghetti meatballs. And I gave him the bowl, and he goes, thanks, Daddy. And then he goes, woohoo, and he turns around and trips and dumps the whole bowl over out on the carpet. Ugh,
they're at this very annoying, like, food and drink age right now where they think they're so good at getting drinks and pouring drinks and carrying drinks around any which way they want to walk. And it's just like,
and curveball, you're bad at pouring drinks. You're bad at carrying things.
You shouldn't be trusted with a carton of milk. You should have asked someone 3 feet taller than you to handle that.
Don't pour coconut water into a cup on a counter that's 2 inches taller than you are.
And maybe if you decide to perform this feat of strength for a person your size.
And balancing act.
Don't try to fill the glass up to the tippity top when it's a glass for a person size 3 sizes larger
than
you.
And then you take it to the living room and put it in front of the television, take 2 sips, and then leave it there for me to find 12 hours later.
Yeah, don't leave it sitting in the hot sun when it's a perishable beverage. we're going through a lot of milk this week.
Oh my God, the milk is all gone.
I've been good though about shoving them into the fridge every time I find them and just being like, we will not waste milk. I tried to explain waste to them this week, which I think maybe they're starting to understand.
Barely. I will say I spilled a whole bowl and I was proud of both myself and Bryn after that because the rage that exploded in me. Because every time I hand them something, I say, 2 hands, go slow, watch the bowl. and I'm like, I'm being too nitpicky here. I'm too micromanaging. And I say, I didn't say it. And then he skips and dumps it all out. And I went, Bryn! And then I literally said, Bryn! And I took a deep breath and he looked at me with big eyes and I said, it's okay. Let's clean it up. And then Bryn really helps me clean up. Normally, like, they're really crap at helping the cleanup.
Yeah.
And he did it. And we cleaned up. And then, my other food-related thing is Maven was running around later playing this character where she goes, I'm a cheese woman! Yeah! And then Bryn started going, Tina, is that you? Tina the cheese woman? And she goes, I'm a cheese woman! Ah! So we have a new character, Tina the cheese woman.
Yeah, this has become one of our rotating stock characters now, along with, what's the narwhal?
Goofy the narwhal.
Goofy the narwhal.
Andrew the apple, who tells terrible jokes.
Goofy the narwhal's voice?
I'm Goofy. Well, Goofy the narwhal's a friend, but Andrew the Apple is the
Bryn
same
does
thing
it
higher.
With more like, I'm Goofy the Narwhal.
Yeah, well,
like,
I told these stories, so it's my voice. It's him trying to talk like this.
No, goes, but his impression is better than yours. I know you invented it, but his interpretation is just actually brings it to a higher level.
He's like, I'm Goofy the Narwhal. Oh boy, I have a mustache. Goofy the Narwhal.
No, he does it with more long E's, and he's like, ew. I'm Goofy.
So I tell stories of them every night, and they make up the details. But Goofy the Narwhal, he's magical except for one way. Every time he says, I have a mustache, thousands of bats appear. And everyone's like, stop saying it. And then I go, what did he say next? And Bryn's like, I have a mustache. So every story ends with bats devouring the earth because Goofy the Narwhal keeps saying, I have a mustache.
I'm just wondering if there's a way to, like, alter the setup of where this comes into our bedtime routine, though, because when it comes at the tail end of store, like reading books where they're very relaxed and paying attention and sort of laying down, and then it turns into play acting, and that when they want to do a story now with when you're doing Lights Out, and now they're like so amped up right at the moment of bedtime. And they're like, we're in character. We're talking to each other. I'm Horn the Unicorn. And they're just like jumping around in bed. And you're
it's
like,
Magic the Unicorn and her friend Magic
no,
the other unicorn.
Last night, Maven added a new character called Horn the Unicorn.
I like Sludgy the Blob and his best friend Speedy the Speedster.
So I'm just wondering if there's a way we can
well, I told you
where that falls in the bedtime routine.
Well, no, I told you, I did this, and then I got him so amped up that I told him the story about a little boy who was trying to write a song for his mother. And I just told them the most earnest, sweet story I've ever told. In the end, he was like, I love you, Mom. She was like, and I love my little boy. And they were like asleep.
Okay, so I need to just talk more.
Yeah, I take it over and make it sweet. You know what? That's my advice to all you out there in any situation. Talk more and make it sweet.
This next segment is called We Knows What They're Reading. It's where we talk about what our kids are reading.
And what we're reading to them. First of all, Britton can read. Legit.
He really can sort of read.
He can legit read. I mean, obviously.
Not he's everything. Mostly, I mean, I think he's kind of doing what we're all doing, which is we eyeball the first and last letters of any word and we sort of fill it in.
You ever seen
mind.
that test or whatever? If you have seen this where if you write an entire paragraph where every word has the correct first and last letters, but every letter in between the first and last letters are in the wrong order.
Yeah.
You can read it as seamlessly as if it weren't out of order.
Right. It's well, crazy. That's what so much of our understanding of the world is just like filling in blanks of like a loose interpretation of something. And we give ourselves a lot of credit for knowing every detail.
Oh my gosh. This came up so many times this week, this exact idea of filling in the blanks. For better and for worse. But, yeah. There were words in this notebook he's never read before tonight.
But he's becoming a really good guess where you're like, he's definitely getting the first letter of the word and sort of making a good guess. Like, yeah. He'll read something and you know it's partly rehearsed in his mind because he'll drop, like, the ands or the or something. You know, like, he's not...
He's read it before.
He's obviously not doing an exact reading.
Yeah, tonight, though, there's some book we never read. Maybe you did read it. But there was a big word, buzz, on it. And he goes, buzz. I was like, you've never seen that word before. So he's piecing it together.
Yeah.
But,
I went to a flea market in town on Sunday. And I bought these new books for them from this old woman who is... setting up some
who just said there's no charge, I'm just glad to be rid of them.
I feel like I really could have gotten a better deal, but I bought some books from her because I was looking at her cards and I was like, oh, these are actually good books. Like sometimes when you root through like used stuff at a flea market, you're like, well, this is all the worst CDs you could find.
Yeah.
And this was like,
and there's CDs.
She had like classic books, like, you know, Berenstain Bears, Blueberries for Sale, stuff where you're like, oh, this is stuff I actually might like reorder online. So I got some books from her, but she was trying to convince me to go to her home in New Rochelle, which is next door to where we live, and like she was like, I have more hardcovers, and I was like, I don't think so, I'm good with these. And like she was like, I'm a former educator, so I really do have good books.
Come to my basement. You'll see them. I promise I'll let you leave.
But she was going on at me the way people do when they're like selling you stuff, but it was just like she was like, I was an educator and I used to teach children to read. And so these are not the books that were in the schools with the children or the daycare. Or like, she was like, these haven't been touched by the children. These are the good books.
These haven't been touched by human hands.
But she was like, but these are good books because I know because I'm an educator. And she was, and then this other woman came by, was walking through and started talking to me. And she was like, you know, they have used books you can buy at the library in town.
Why is this woman so sexy?
Well, it was just weird how she was trying to talk me out of buying from this other old woman. And I was just like,
don't buy
this is
there.
The kind of old woman. She's just trying to start shit.
Come
left
on
and
down
right.
Like, to the library.
I was like, why are you interfering? Like, who are you to try to tell me, like, there's other places to buy books? And I was like,
we're all an open book at the library.
Well, I was like, yeah, I've seen the room at the library where they have used books, but it seems kind of picked over a lot of the time, whatever. And she was just like, And then I swear she walked around the flea market and came back to me and said some other thing.
This is a random woman at the flea market just walking by telling you not to buy the books you're
talking about? This is not a woman who's working at this stall. She's just coming around to be like, you could get better kids books other places.
Ooh.
And then like this, she didn't say it in those words, but then the woman who I bought them from, again, was just really talking them up and trying to get me to buy more books from her. And I was just like,
this is so intense. These are competing witches that are trying to get you into their respective basements.
And then I bought these books for the kids, and then I realized I'm probably very allergic to these books, and I stuck them in the freezer for a couple hours, and I still think I'm pretty allergic to these books, and I questioned whether any of this was worth my time. But our kids are very excited about these books.
Wow, that led up to exactly what I was going to talk about, which was these books. Did you know that's what I was going to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Perfect. Perfect setup then. So one of the books, first of all, I saw Blueberries for Sale, and I got real emotional. That book.
There was a lot of classic books in this bin that I was like, I would totally take this, but I already went out of my way to buy this book because it's so etched in my memory of childhood. Like they had Mouse Tales, and I was like, wow, like this is a great find, but I already bought Mouse Tales because it's a great book.
I had never read it before until you got it. So there's some Berenstain Bears. It has always been Berenstain, guys. There's no Mandela effect, right?
No, I don't think there is. I think our childhood brains, like I just said with Bryn, we've been remembering the first and last letter of every word and nothing more.
Berenstain. When you say Berenstain real fast, Berenstain Bears. It sounds like Berenstain. There you go. Problem solved. The internet.
We're unwilling to accept that our childhood brains only remembered the sound and not the actual letters.
I had never looked at letters until last year. I just look at the image of the word.
Until I became a logo designer.
Yeah.
Never looked at a single letter.
I didn't know what words were. So we read the Berenstain Bears and No Girls Allowed. And I got to say, I felt weird about it.
About the book.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to read that book to them again because it just puts the idea in their head that there should be this weird gender.
I'm okay with throwing some of these books out since I got them for like 50 cents a piece.
That one feels...
The one I read last night from the Berenstain Bears that I felt was also problematic was about them all trying to eat healthier and lose weight. And I was like, I'm okay with them talking about healthy foods, but the way it's constantly framed in the book is just about poking at the Papa Bear and being like, you're too fat, and the doctor is like, fat is bad. And there's just so much like messaging that I'm just like, this is harmful and doesn't get to the heart of what's actually unhealthy about eating pure sugar during the day. Like, it's just like, explain to kids that the foods that give you a stomach ache aren't good to be eating constantly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this is so much our childhood. This, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, you know, like no girls allowed.
Like so much of our childhood, it's well intentioned and not. But actually,
that is the show's like sort of at a certain periods of time. You know, the book, the message of it is really positive. In the end, it's like, you shouldn't have these divides. This is not,
well,
people are people.
There's a part in the book, this is where it gets like really bad, is there's a part in the book where they've been dieting for like, I don't know, months. The whole bear family competes in like a 5K or something. Like
I mean,
a race,
in
right?
The book's defense,
Let me finish. So they do this race. They They don't all win, but they're just happy that the whole family completed it, and they get a trophy for being the only family that all of them competed in this race after they've been dieting for months.
Family Mama participation
Bear,
trophy.
Mom and Pear has put their sugary snacks into the freezer, and they've been avoiding sugar for weeks. At the end of that, Daddy Bear, or whatever his name is, says... Papa Bear. He says, I want to reward us for doing all that. Why don't we dig into this freezer? And the kids turn to him... And they hand him carrot sticks, they say, this is what we've learned. And I just, the messaging, it makes me so angry. Because I'm like, this man just did a race. Give him a break.
Papa Bear some ice cream.
People eat sugar. We're human beings. We need to get, like, there needs to be some indulgence in our lives. That should not be the message at the end of the day. It's like, no more joy for you, Papa Bear. We're good bears.
Boy,
now.
I don't know that I feel as strongly as you do about this.
It makes me it just makes me angry because I think this like sort of purity culture we have around certain things is like, I think I experience it more as a woman than you do, but it, like it. Not only is unsustainable, but it's actually harmful if you're trying to get people to have healthy habits to expect them to subscribe to this like puritanical, joyless experience because it makes them more likely to relapse into unhealthy habits, I think.
Just that, I was just saying that just like zero... It's balanced. Everything is balanced. I will say, you ordered custard the other night, and I've been so GD healthy. And you know what? I feel great. I feel like a regular Papa Bear trying to get himself a ice cream snack. And you were like, I'm going to get some. You want some? And I always had a panic attack.
Well, I was really proud of myself because I feel like I set a firm boundary with you where you were like, can I just have a couple of bites of yours? And I was like, no. You're ordering custard
or you're not.
I'm not fighting over this single serving with you because you can't admit you want to eat ice cream tonight.
Oh, I'll admit I want to eat ice cream.
No, but this is the thing where it's like, you make it seem like I'm responsible for your indulgences because you can't self-control. And it's
you're not responsible.
I'm not asking you to eat my food for myself.
What happened was I said, okay, go order it. And I jumped on the exercise bike and I biked until it arrived. And I burned almost as many calories as the ice cream was. And I felt great afterwards. And I woke up the next morning skinnier than I have been since 2012.
I'm proud of myself because I did a little YouTube workout last night of a weight training thing, like a body workout. And
just here in the living room?
Yeah, here in the living room.
Wow.
Right here, can't see it. Where we're recording now.
The yoga mat is still on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I cleaned up this whole thing, but for some reason I didn't pick up the yoga mat.
But here's why I'm proud is because I hadn't worked out in days in any shape or form, and I was like, I need to do something. This feels like a economical use of my time to do strength training. But I also, having not really worked out recently or done much, speaking of the balance we were talking about, is I made sure not to push myself too hard despite what the video was telling me to do because the weights I have are heavier than they should be. And I feel like when I've done like squatting type stuff with weights, I feel like it's really hurt my knees, which in my family, we have bad knees that are not designed correctly for human behaviors.
They made them wrong.
We really did. Our bloodline has done a lot of good things, but not knees.
They got a lot of good things in a lot of different parts, departments.
So when I was doing the workout, I could tell specifically one knee was making like a creaking sound, it always does. And I was just like, I know this is hurting it, and I'm not going to do the exercises as hard on this side. And I'm proud of myself. Because at least now, 24 hours later, I'm not experiencing a knee injury, which sometimes I do have, like, soreness.
Hmm. Well, I'm really proud of you for eating the ice cream and not working too hard. Good work.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Know. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
What's the segment called?
Listeners Want to Know.
You missed the whole hook of the podcast. Nothing else matters except
I'm putting. Sorry, please S's write emails to me. Tell me I'm bad. Tell me how bad I am.
Oh, I just want to acknowledge a few things. I got a few emails and notes, mostly from people I know, about last week's episode where I barfed.
You got a lot of emails about barfing?
Not a lot of emails, but people always would be like, did that really happen?
I got at least a couple messages from people being like, whoa, the barf.
Yeah, Chuck Bryant texted me. Was that real or was that a bit? I said, that was real.
It does seem like bits. So much of our podcast seems like made up.
I mean, you mean our lives?
These our lives.
Details are just far these too fantastic.
These are the days of our life. Okay, we have a listener phone call.
Voicemail. We haven't done a voicemail in a while. Let's do one. Ready? Here we go.
Hi, this is Doug from Astoria, Queens, New York. My wife and I, Vanessa, listen to the pod. So hi, Beth. Hi, Peter. And hi, Winnie's Parenting Pod. We listened to your latest episode, and you'd mentioned that there was a book that had some problematic or troubling language regarding body parts. And my wife and I have had this similar struggle with children's lips, specifically for toddlers and really youngins, where either the book takes a fantastical approach to real life or just has really horrendous writing and language in it. As for instance, my sister-in-law gave us a really cute book, objectively cute, I guess, called Janet the Planet. And I have a massive issue with this book because it sort of supposes or presents a reality where there's a planet that wants to be a planet named Janet. And so now my three-year-old daughter keeps asking about the purple planet, Janet, and I just have an extreme issue with this. And so I kind of relate. And I wanted to know how you guys handle gifts that are clearly sort of against your own personal parenting philosophies, or just how you deal with this sort of juggling of something that's not entirely insidious, but isn't exactly up to snuff with your parenting style. So we really enjoy the pod, and I'll take my answer off the air. Bye.
Cool.
Wow, that's a really interesting question.
How do you deal with gifts?
Well, I would say, especially with something as small as a book, like we were saying earlier, I think it's really fine for books to just kind of mysteriously disappear.
Fall behind the bureau.
Yeah, like kids are not smart and they won't remember things. Like,
they're very bad at finding things. I mean, that's, you know what? They're also really good at finding things.
I mean, as long as it's not like their favorite book or their favorite thing, I think you're fine because they don't, I think the thing about some of this like bad media, these bad TV shows and books and things that are made for kids out of some sort of weird, I don't know, however they're made, they're, I don't think kids are that engaged in them because they're not well made. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was just showing them one of the books I found at the flea market was like some sort of guide to the human body that it looked vaguely familiar from my childhood.
I didn't see that one.
And it was like talking about bones, but then it would get to a page that was like a diagram of the bones, which our kids are weirdly into the naming of things. Like, yeah. The dinosaur books we have, they're kind of weirdly obsessed with like trying to pronounce all the actual scientific names of dinosaur, which is kind of cool. So it gets to a page where it's the bones, and then the diagram just says like arm bone, lower leg bone.
What?
Like
arm bone?
Yeah, I was actually angry as someone who literally doesn't care about bones or science.
You get angry when sometimes when we enjoy like identifying animals, you're like, ugh, who cares what a cephalopod is?
No, I like animals. I get annoyed at like boring science-y facts that are just like immaterial to
me. You're not
me.
A big periodic table lady, huh?
I I could not care less about the periodic table. I know it means something to people who understand it better, but
I
like,
got an A in chemistry. That was my favorite.
I was great at physiology because it's like I understand what that is and what it does and how it like how it functions in my life.
You want it to be tangible.
I do. I like tangible facts. And so to get to this page in the book that was like just not the real names of the bones, I was like, why are you wasting our time? Like my kid might be 3 years old, but she's going to remember what I say to her tonight while I'm reading this book. And this
you kids are going to listen.
This is what you want to tell her about the human body.
This is your arm bone. It's called the humerus.
No, but it does make me angry because like I.
How old is this book?
It's not that old. It can't be older than the 80s.
Too old.
It's like...
Beth, we're too old.
We're so old.
Remember the 80s?
Oh.
I do.
Yeah.
There's kids somewhere
I
yelling.
I think that's their TV next door.
Through walls.
We have to get used to there being a functional living room there with a TV on.
No, those are real kids that are yelling right now. Audience, I know you can't hear this, but this is...
On a Monday night?
On a Monday night at 10:03, there's children cheering.
I think it's a documentary.
Absolutely, it's not. It's that documentary, you know? Kids Laughs, the documentary.
Your imagination for TV shows and media that might include children is not as vast as my imagination for whether children would be awake next door after 10 p.m.
That kind of sentence was too complicated for me to follow. gifts that I've received that I'm like, I'm not on board with this. We had a babysitter give us a like reason for the season. Jesus Christmas.
Anyone
book.
Who gives you a gift that is seasonal in nature, their gift is fully eligible to be immediately written off. If you get like here's the kind of thing that
well,
I
that,
get.
That's a bold statement. Okay, keep going though.
Okay, here's the, like if you give me a mother of two who lives in a two bedroom apartment seasonal decorations and like dish towels and decorative things that I know you grabbed
Christmas
at the Christmas
ornaments?
Tree shop in Massachusetts for $1.99 on sale. I'm not obligated to keep that in my home for the next 20 to 30
well,
years.
Well, you know, if the person got you that, they're not expecting you to and they don't care. They just are really hoping that you don't hate
you
their
might
gift.
Be wrong there. I think some of them are expecting me to and will ask about it and make sure I receive
hey,
the gift.
Are you using that mobile gas station fly swatter I got you? It's a good one.
You know what? Okay, so here's what's interesting. So women maybe are historically overgive gifts to the point of needlessness, but men don't give gifts. As much traditionally.
Well, I can think of plenty. Maybe on average, I think it's less like women and gifts and
well,
being thoughtful and thinking about that.
Here's what I wanted to say.
Obviously, all people are different.
Can I talk?
I just want to disclaimer that before
I
we
had
move on.
Sort of like a revelatory moment today because I was. It was one of the many days where the media I'm bombarded with throughout the day is very negative in its representation of men as a whole. And then I saw one of my friends, he's been having a rough time. It's his birthday. I wanted to get him a gift. And then I remembered like, oh, maybe I could like get my friends in on this. And we were on an improv team together. And I reached out to my female friend and I was like, asking her about it, and like obviously she's down because she's a nice person and a woman. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna reach out to the men in our former improv group and try to like loop them in on this. Because I, as I said to my friend, I was like, you know, they probably actually do want to help. They're just men, so it would never occur to them to do it. So I texted them and I was like, hey, I'm doing this thing. Like, if you want to Venmo me or get in on like giving him a group gift or something, blah, blah, blah. So they were totally on board. And I was like, it was kind of a nice moment of restoring my faith and being like, they do want to help. They do care. Cause I just feel like sometimes week to week, month to month, I feel like the women I know are doing so much to try to keep the world around them going in the face of a lot of really bad things happening.
Well, you know, this exact same thing happened to me this week where somebody, a woman, said, hey, we should get a gift for this person, another woman, and emailed a bunch of us. And I was like, yeah, I'll sign the card. I'll Venmo the thing. Because, but, you know, you're right. I'm not the one to spearhead that.
I think because I've had a lot of moments recently with things in the news and things going on personally where I've literally been trying to funnel money towards things that are important to me and like resources, and it's very stressful because as one person you can never do as much as you want to do. And so I guess today was a nice reminder of like, oh, maybe I should include these men in my efforts, even though historically they haven't been helpful or seemed emotionally involved in this, or you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's good. It's good. I mean, also, this is the career you've chosen where your headspace is in a place where you're looking for the hypocrisy of the patriarchy all day long. And,
Yeah, but it's like I don't have to look for it. It's pretty apparent.
Well, right, but you are looking for it because that's your job.
No, so, but it's not that it's my job. I think like anyone existing in the world who is a sensitive person right now, regardless of gender, like it's hard to exist without like going through the day and being like, okay, that person's getting hurt, that person's getting hurt, that person. Like there's just like a lot of things happening to people where like we're in a stage with our media and social media where we have to see it all the time. But like our government and structures have not evolved to meet the needs that we have to encounter. So I don't like – I don't think I'm looking for it at all. I just think a lot of people are like, wow.
Sure.
This is hard to witness right now.
Sure. So there is something extra great about that. Like, oh, you know what? Let's see. You can see the best in some people.
Right. Like, it was nice to be like, it was like, you know, people I haven't talked to in a while and I don't have a necessarily positive or negative interpretation of them, like I just haven't seen them in a while. Yeah. And like I guess it was nice to be reminded of like, yeah, there's like all these great people. I think I've been having this realization in a lot of different ways in the last year where you're like, if I really need support, there actually are a lot of nice people around me. It's just the way that we consume the world right now with social media and just the way the world is, I think the most negative people are getting the most attention. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, 100%. This is no hot take, but I am dramatically off of the internet these days. And it has a profound effect on my attitude towards human beings.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, people are great. Because the loudest assholes fill your brain, and your brain fills in the gaps with everyone else also being like this, and you feel like you're overwhelmed.
Yeah,
and
but
just
I
getting that cloud
like,
away for a while, you realize that like
I'm
people
always
are totally
cautious.
Reasonable.
I always get worried when this conversation veers into like, oh, the internet is terrible territory, because like the internet is our world now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the internet is part of our reality, and we can't just cede it to terrible people, the same as we can't let our government fall into their hands or so many other things. It's like we have to consciously think about how we're going to make it not so terrible.
Yes, that is true. And you have to balance that with your own personal mental health.
Yeah, that's true. You can't, one person cannot save the whole thing.
Yeah. And if the harder you try, the more you risk actually being so intensely informed that you're completely blind to a bunch of really obvious shit. And the internet can make you very smart and it can make you very stupid. And if you're so locked in that things become oversized and you think it's the whole world and you're ignoring most of the world.
Anyway, I guess this sort of relates back to our kids, which we are trying not to let them be on the internet or phones too much.
Oh, no, they're not allowed to touch. They're not allowed to touch screens.
But hopefully,
if
we continue to curate their TV viewing and book reading, they will.
We're going to throw out No Girls Allowed.
Learn to enjoy the right things. Brent, our kids have also been watching a lot of Wildcrats, which Brent loves.
That show's great.
And he never stops talking about animal facts and characteristics now.
He's like, have you ever seen a Yeti crab in real life? They're funny looking.
Well, we went,
He told me just before we go past the Yeti crab, he goes, the Yeti crab, they live in the assimil zone. And I'm like, are you trying to say the abysmal plain? He goes, no, daddy. It's the assimil zone.
Well, I took him to see my friends this weekend, and like, we could be talking about anything, literally, and he will find a way to be like, oh, you mean like a sock-eyed salmon? he'll say things in conversation.
You say sock-eyed salmon?
Yeah. He'll say things in conversation where he'll start pretending to be an animal, and he's like, we lay our eggs before we die. And it's just like, out of context, it's so specific.
Hi, mommy's friend. We lay our eggs before we die.
And like, if you think about it, you can trace what it's from, but you're like, what? Why are you saying this right now?
The barrelfish can see out straight the top of its head. They don't even look up. They can see out the top of their head. That's what he told me after he was screaming at Tina the cheese woman. I'm a cheese woman.
I'm Tusk the narwhal.
This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. Oh boy, your rating and reviews have been priceless.
Thank you to everyone who rated us on iTunes.
Who said that this podcast got them pregnant, or that it's a very sexy podcast for parents. We're gonna, what we want
in the future, if you want to write it, just title it "Ouch, I love this podcast."
I was going to say we should have a competition to write in what the next one should be, but Beth just did it again.
Yours?
I don't have one. I want you to rate and review the podcast with "Ouch, I love this podcast." Is that what you said?
Yeah.
"Ouch, I love this podcast." Write a review. You can write to us at weknowspod@gmail.com if you have any would you knows hypothetical scenarios. Or
you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Find us on social media on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at weknowspod. And have yourself a great night.
Bye.